This is Remnant Bride Radio, bringing to you Time with Gary, a common man with an uncommon understanding. Now, from RemnantBrideRadio.com, here's Gary Naylor.
Hi, this is Gary Naylor. Let's spend some time together.
Well, spending time together is exactly what we did. June 6 and 7, 2009 in Denver, Colorado. We spent some time together with a marriage. And it was quite a marriage. It was quite a honeymoon, particularly. And it was wonderful being in the home of Chris Meyer, co-host of Remnant Bride Radio. Chris, it was wonderful spending time in your home, and Aida was just the most wonderful hostess, and you have a wonderful family. And I know anybody who got to know you would enjoy you.
Well, thank you, Gary, and it's good to be with you again. My wife has always been a gracious host, and I was very pleased with the way that she received everybody into our home and the way that she served everybody and just kind of did it of her own free will. She was very, very happy to have these guests, you and, of course, the other bride members, into our home, and we were very, very blessed by having you all here.
Well, something stands out to me from the time there. Before we went to Colorado Springs for the consummation of the marriage between the bride and Elijah, I was in the kitchen. Aida was in the kitchen, and I went over to her, and I said, "Can I have a hug?" And she hugged me. She's sweet, you know. And we went off and, of course, went to Colorado Springs, came back, and I was in the living room, and she came up to me. She said, "Now can I have a hug?"
You know, she
that's
did.
Wonderful.
And I was wondering why she did that. Not that that was unusual for her, but it just seemed, it seemed sort of out of place. So now I understand why she did it. And that was part of how she felt and how the whole weekend, how she felt that whole weekend with just the presence of the bride members and the talk that we had. I will tell you that I was extremely blessed to have all you in my home, in our home. And, you know, I've given my wife and my children bits and pieces of Remnant Bride Truth here and there, and I've worked really hard at trying to get them to understand, but I want them to understand it without force. And this weekend or that weekend really opened the door for them to be able to really understand exactly what I'm doing. And I felt that after y'all left, that they really were able to grasp what it is that I'm doing and that they can get behind me now and support me.
Yes, and your daughter, Anna, she's what, 13?
She's 13.
Yes. It was a blessing. Speaking of another blessing from being in your home, it was a blessing that she requested to go on a walk with me. And she asked, at the age of 13, she asked the most mature questions. I felt like it was like an interview. It was wonderful. She was very gracious. We walked around the block, and I thought maybe she had spent the days thinking about them and writing them down. It was so wonderful, and she asked the most mature questions. It was very enjoyable. Michael was especially enjoyable as well. Of course, when we walked away from the intercession, and this is written about in the writing, you know, about the gathering, and Michael said, "Boy, I'm sure glad I came." And it was very special, wasn't it?
It was, and Michael wasn't feeling well, as you know, and he would typically have a history when he doesn't feel well like that to just sleep in. And he got up on his own and came, and he had made a commitment to come, and we're so glad he did because he was part of this wonderful intercession.
If we had not have had Michael, then the intercession would have been incomplete because we had to have 8 covenant parts, which we didn't even know we needed. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
The thing that we did is we walked out an intercession that was equal to Genesis 15, where Abraham laid out the covenant parts, and Yahweh passed between them as a smoking oven and a flaming torch. when he laid out those parts, it would have been, with the three animals that were split, that would be six parts, and then the two birds would have been eight. We had to have eight parts, and frankly, whenever I came to Colorado that night, even that morning, before you talked with me about what Kathy said to you, all I thought of was me passing between you and Jim as representatives of the bride, as y'all expressed beforehand that you wanted to be the bride. I was going to walk between the two of you, and I assumed the others would be observers, but they weren't. They were participants, weren't they?
They were, and this is what's so remarkable, and I know you'll continue to get into this, but for the listener, it's just wonderful and marvelous and humbling to see how Yahweh designed this. There was no way, you stated to me that your only intention was to pass between Jim and I, and Yahweh worked out the rest. And as we continue to tell the story, the listener will see how marvelous it was, and how really humbling it was to see Yahweh work in our midst.
We went to Red Rock Canyon. Jim drove us there. We didn't know where we were going. You just let Jim drive. He took us to that location. Turned out to be a wonderful location. And we gathered at this one particular place by a tree. It was at a resting place where there was a bench and this beautiful tree. And it was a good place to have the intercession. When we gathered there, of course, the wind blew. And we all were sensitive to that and said, oh, this is wonderful. Bruce went over and crawled in the cleft of a rock, and I had to call him out. And then we gathered there together. We did some shuffling. One gentleman almost fell off a cliff, potentially could have. But we had two rows of four people each for eight people, and with you and Jim in the front two places, and I was going to walk between the two rows. I prayed, and I was prepared to walk, and something happened. Did you see it coming? It came out of my side, so I wasn't aware. Did you see it coming?
I didn't see it happening, and the listener needs to know as well that you had instructed us, Jim and I, of course, to be in the front, and you instructed the others to just line up, and I believe you instructed the two ladies to be at the rear, but you didn't instruct the other men to position themselves a particular way.
No, and it happened that the two Thomases, Tommy Tillman and Tom Doerr, they were right behind Jaws. Yes, right behind Jaws. So we had the two Tommies, and then we had Bruce and Michael and the third group. They were all laid out. But something came out from my right side. Did you see it coming?
I did not see it coming. I had my arms folded in a real solemn, not religious way, but I was really contemplative that day. I was prayerful, and I took this passing through the covenant parts very serious. And so I wasn't looking around. I wasn't gawking around to see, you know, who was watching and what was going on, and then here it comes.
The dog.
The dog.
Went right past me to my right. It was a dog that had been in that area but left with its master. It returned. Momentarily, for this one event, it returned, went right past me on the right side, went through the covenant parts, paused at the other side, turned around, came back, went behind Jim McManus, stood there momentarily, and then left.
Took off.
And I thought, that dog just had relations with my virgin bride.
I waited to see what your reaction was going to be. I thought that maybe Satan was just trying to, just being the author of confusion that he is, and just try and disrupt what we were doing. I waited to see what you would do. And, of course, you can tell the rest of what you did.
Sure.
But I thought Satan was just being a pest. I never realized what was happening.
When it happened, I wondered what y'all were thinking. And actually, I thought, oh, boy, I bet they're thinking, you know, this whole thing's been defiled. But I didn't think any further about it at that point. I went ahead and did what we came there to do. You know, we had already shuffled once up the trail, once back, and I don't like indecision. So we were there, the wind had come, The dog came. She did what she was supposed to do. And I had already prayed, and I just walked through the covenant parts. And that was it. And we didn't understand what was happening. Of course, we went over to the Stagecoach Inn, had a wonderful meal together, and then went out and looked for where I had had a honeymoon with my wife there 40 years before to the day. That is where my wife and I had consummated our marriage. Then we went out to Garden of the Gods. One group had to leave and take a gentleman to the airport. And then that evening we were over at your house and had just a wonderful time of teaching. Did you enjoy that?
Well, I did. And this is what really topped the weekend off for me, was you sat in our home, in our front room, and you taught Remnant Bride Truth to my family, to other bride members that were there, to my daughter, to my wife, to my son. And they got it. They understood it. And it was a wonderful, and I was sitting there kind of daydreaming a little bit, thinking, you know, if, not in a proud way, not in a gloating way, but a, boy, if people just knew what and who was in my home and what we were doing, I wish the neighbors would just come. You know, we have a neighbor that's just kind of nosy, and why isn't she up here now? You know, poking her nose in the window, saying, what are you all doing? I just had wished that some people could see what we were doing. We were very blessed by the teachings and came away very blessed and edified by just the simplicity of the way that you teach Remnant Bride Truth.
And that actually, Chris, was the first time that I had ever sat down and taught to a group what I taught you. I've taught that to individuals, but never sat down with a group and taught that. That was the first time. Of course, as a result, Tom and Kelly from Saginaw, Michigan, wanted me to come to their home and teach. And they asked me, and I said, sure. And I waited, frankly. I waited. Chris, you know me by now. I am not interested in doing my will. Not in the least am I interested in just doing my will. Because if bride is nothing more than my will, it's a total failure. If it's just the efforts of a flesh man, I'm not interested in that. You know, as I've said before, I'll just go drive a truck.
Right. And you have proved to me over the months and years that is true. And the weekend in Colorado Springs really sealed it for me, because if you had tried to walk this out via your way, your will, these things would have never happened.
No.
Okay? They would have never happened. Here we saw, you know, a case of what you've talked about. We saw Yahweh's back.
Exactly.
What he has done, and it was marvelous and very hopeful to behold this.
When Tom and Kelly asked me to come, I had already waited, and I said, yes, I'll come. Because, see, for 15 years, Chris, I have not had the grace to go teach. There's never been a grace upon me or an assurance that I go out and teach for 15 years.
Now, this brings up a question, Gary. We talked about the end of a breach. Would you say that we're at the end of a breach? And what does that mean exactly?
Yes, indeed. Let me finish one statement concerning them. Kelly asked me, well, how many would have to come for you to come teach? And I sat there and I said, two. Tom and Kelly.
That's right.
They're worth it.
Sure they are.
Sure, and there will be more than that. We've already made arrangements to be in their home. Now, you asked the question about repairing the breach. Tom and Kelly, first, were of the opinion that, well, or secondly, were of the opinion that it would not be possible for them to gather on the weekend until after the 4th of July weekend. Well, that was very disappointing to me, because that was putting it way out there. Tom called me a few days ago, and he mentioned the weekend, said that Kelly was going to be busy on Sunday. And I said, well, that doesn't keep us from meeting, does it? You and I can go do something on Sunday. And the light bulb came on. He said, yes. They started making arrangements, and they said, can you drive down Thursday, which would be the 18th. Can you drive down Thursday? And we're going to start meeting Friday morning at 10:30 and Saturday morning at 10:30, as long as people want to stay. And he's trying to make other arrangements for Sunday as well. I said, that's great. Well, Chris, I realized that this is another thing. This is another item. You said we saw his back. Yes, when we left Colorado and came home, that's when Yahweh showed me what he did with the dog. The dog was Caleb. And people can read the writing. The June 6 and 7, 2009 writing on the Remnant Bride weblog. So that we saw what Yahweh did afterwards. Well, this is the same thing. They set up a meeting on the 19th. And Chris, as you know now, that is the exact day that the Spirit came upon me. And it's very encouraging. The Holy Spirit came on me as best I can discern, because I know the 18th is when he told me he would not give his glory to the body, but give its glory to the bride. The next day, I would say, and I've never thought of it this way, I would say he gave me his glory. Because he started teaching me things that he had never taught man before. The Spirit was on me for a week and a half. I needed 4 to 2 hours of sleep at night was all. And it was a wonderful time of teaching which the Holy Spirit came upon me. Well, here it is, 15 years later, and Yahweh for the first time is opening the door and opening my heart, calling me to teach. And it just so happens that it will be June 19, the first public meeting in which I go out to teach for that purpose will be June 19. And so I trust that what the Holy Spirit did for me 15 years ago, that I will be in that place and begin teaching people just as I did 15 years ago. It's wonderful.
So
repairs the breach, hopefully.
All right. So when the Spirit came on you for a week and a half, then it breached. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so what would you say, other than just correct timing, what would you say then triggered or repaired the breach? Was it the amount of time that you spent? Was it this consummation? Was it obedience? What was it that ended the breach?
Well, it is timing, because, you know, we've talked about the 50 Jubilee waiting periods from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and that's what led us to trumpets on October 16 of 2008, and then we've had this entire string, this entire connected string of items that have brought us to where we are today, and we're still in that string. And so it is Yahweh's timing. Of course, for me, 15 years is 2 sevens, which is the 2 waiting periods, you know, through Christianity, 2 sevens, 2 marks of the beast. And then Jubilee, the fulfillment, which would be my 15th year, and I'm at the very end of that 15th year. I mean, right at the very end of it. And so it's with great hope that I'm going to go to Michigan. You know, another thing, I was looking at the Michigan map today, and people kept telling me about the thumb of Michigan, the thumb of Michigan. And I thought, the thumb of, you know, like it's a hand. And I thought, what are they talking about? And I pulled up a map of Michigan, and I thought, you know, it's exactly what it looks like. It looks like a mitt, a hand. In fact, to me, it looks like a left hand, because it's, the fingers are kind of curved. And I thought, you know, this would be wonderful. This is up to Yahweh if he wants to. But we are awaiting the time in which Yahweh performs the sign that causes belief, in which the leper's hand is taken out of the bosom and is no longer leprous. You know, in my own life, maybe the hand went into the bosom and came out leprous 15 years ago. That's the nature of a breach. I haven't been able to go out and teach publicly for these 15 years. Hopefully, Michigan is when the hand is going to come out clean, and I can start teaching and working, doing the works that Yahweh would call me to.
That's a wonderful thought. I never realized that Michigan resembles that on a map, and that is consistent with everything that's been taught, that the works your hands are your works, and that the works, you know, the works will be cleaned and purified, so that man can do works again. It's a wonderful thought.
Yes, and of course, Chris, this is Yahweh's work. He has got to perform this. And frankly, I come before him at this time with a tremendous submission to him and hope in him, because if Yahweh doesn't move, I will fall flat on my face. I am totally dependent upon Yahweh moving, and that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out with that hope. When we went to Denver, we went there with a sketchy plan. Yahweh made up the difference in a marvelous testimony. And again, I urge the listener to go to the weblog and read the June 6 and 7, 2009 writing. That's the title of it. But Yahweh made up the difference. We simply stepped out and did what we knew to do. And Yahweh did a wonderful work. I trust the same is going to happen. I'm going to go to Michigan. There are some brothers in Pennsylvania. I want to contact them and see if we can do something there. I got a call today from a lady in New York who wants to have a gathering there in New York. I'm going to see what we can do along the East Coast and end up down at Alabama eventually and have meetings there with Tommy. And so we're just going to see what Yahweh's going to do. All I know to do is step out.
Well, and you've been stepping out, and look at the results. And I'm in agreement that I see it as well. I see this as there's a real freedom for you now to go out and teach. So something changed. Something is different.
Yes. I've never felt free to do this. Never. And for the first time I do. In fact, it is so clear, it's so evident to me. Chris, if I did not do this, I know it would be sin. I know this is what I have to go do. I have no doubt whatsoever. I can do no less than what I'm going to go do.
You know, I was meditating today, driving home from work, and I thought about last weekend and how wonderful it was and edifying, and I thought, you know, that was not a means to an end. That's not it. That's not the end. That was just the beginning of what we're going to see, what Yahweh's going to do with the bride.
Yes, but you said that's not a means to an end, but I think what you meant is that is not the end, but it is a means to an end, right?
Well, I mean, that is the means by which there will be an end, but that wasn't Yahweh's final work with us.
No.
It's just beginning.
Yes, I think it's a door.
Very much a door, and it was important for Yahweh to show me that because now I can look forward and watch and be involved in these things and continue to be involved and watch Yahweh move with us. And again, it's about stepping out in faith and walking these things out. It's just a wonderful place to be.
I do hope indeed it is that door spoken of in Revelation where he said that he would open up a door that no man can close. That is a scripture I've taken personally for a number of years, waiting for Yahweh to do that. Of course, that is Philadelphia, which is the second remnant. And that's what I'm hoping on, that as I step out, things are going to work. Yahweh is going to send his spirit at the right time. And this Elijah work, this bride work, is going to become everything it needs to be.
Can we go back to the actual consummation when this dog passed through? And I know the listener is going to read this, but I'm wondering if you could share just a bit of what it really meant for the dog to pass through first and then for you, what it meant symbolically.
Yahweh is very interesting in the way he does things. A consummation covenant is effected in two different ways. One way is in which the two split parts are passed through by a male part, which would be the body of Christ passing between the two-part remnant, or it would be the man in the consummation of a marriage passing between the split covenant parts of the woman. That is one consummation covenant. Yet, it seems that the higher covenant is that two things have to pass between the split parts. Of course, this isn't covered in the writing, but when you have a heifer and a female goat and a ram, you have remnant nations Christianity even. And that brings this whole aspect of the intercession even higher. Because what you have in that testimony is the remnant and the body of Christ separated by the nations, which is intriguing. And then, of course, it's not just that, but they split all of these animals. And so you have a split as well. It's a very intriguing pattern. But what you find is the two things passing between, that probably confused everybody at this point, but what you have is two items passing through that have identities as female and male, because the smoking oven, which has the fire within, is the female. The fire is within her womb. On the other hand, the male is a burning torch. The fire is on the head. And so you have this female-male work, and now, you know, whenever I first saw that dog go through, I said, that dog just had relations with my wife, with my virgin bride. Well, the fact is, two things had to pass through. One would be the smoking oven, which the dog represented, and she was a female. It was a female dog. And then the torch, which is male, and then I walked through. Quite interesting. The female work is the Elijah work. It is the work that prepares the way for the rod work. And that's exactly what she testified to as well. She prepared the way for me to walk through. I questioned it at first. I pointed out in the writing, just like we thought, what's happening? I think a lot of people are going to look at Remnant Bride teachings and go, this is strange. But the reality is, it is Yahweh God. It is His ways. People do not know His ways. And once they see something being carried out according to His ways, then they think, this is strange. This is not what I believe. This is too complicated. But it is Yahweh. If anybody can ever get to the place of seeing His back and understanding. So, the dog was a Caleb, which is what Caleb's name means, because you had Caleb and Joshua. The dog was a Caleb who effected the first part of the covenant between the split covenant parts, and then I had to effect the second part, so that you had the Caleb, the Joshua, and the oven and the torch passing between the covenant parts. Now, what does that mean? That means that the bride, which is the Elijah work, which is being established now, and Emmanuel, who is the rod, will occupy the place between the two 2,000-year periods of Christianity. The Moses period, in which they die having not received the promise. The Elijah period, in which they receive the promise and ascend alive. The Moses period is, again, it's a female work. The Elijah period is a male work that has the right to rule. The thing about Yahweh, Chris, is He is so simple in the way He does things. Female, breech, male. That's one way of looking at it. And in this simplicity, He does it in such marvelous and even seemingly complicated ways and testifies of these things. And so when we see these things being carried out, we go, well, of course, this is consistent with Yahweh. Does that help?
It does, and so this covenant between Elijah and the bride, what is, I think you mentioned that Yahweh will watch over it to fulfill and confirm it. What does that mean for us?
Well, if we fulfill the Elijah bride work, the Elijah is in the office of Yeshua. We fulfill the Elijah bride work, it prepares the way for Emmanuel. This is one of the things that is so unique about the bride, and I was thinking about this just before the program. One of the probably most unique thing about the bride, other than her teachings, is the emphasis on intercession. We realize, and this comes from Yahweh's calling upon me whenever he told me that I was to be an intercessor. This intercession is unique to the bride somewhat. There's in one other group that concentrates on intercession. It's a Christian group, but they think they're not. And the aspect of intercession is that you have to walk it out to gain authority and to gain understanding. That is what we have been doing. We gain authority. So Yahweh had us to walk out this intercession of the marriage of the bride and the groom and the consummation of that relationship. Now, Chris, whenever a man and a woman have consummation, the outcome is offspring. The purpose of the Elijah bride is to bring forth and birth Emmanuel. So in this consummation ceremony we had, it looks to the Elijah work of birthing or bringing forth Emmanuel to this earth to set up his kingdom.
What a wonderful, marvelous thought.
Yes.
To see that consummation could very well have triggered the start of the return of Emmanuel, because you're right, the consummation of a marriage generally results in an offspring.
And what we trust is going to happen is that we will receive the latter rain.
Yes.
Receive
yes.
the Sheman, because remember, Yeshua was erected. And as I've expressed before, it was probably the place in which he expressed that evidence of the rod. He was erected on the cross. The hymen, the veil in the temple, was rent, and the way was made into the Holy of Holies, which is the woman's womb. And of course, some 50 days later, the Sheman, the oil, was given to the first remnant so that they could grow and produce, and of course, eventually they brought forth the body of Christ. We have to have the same thing. We had this marriage ceremony, which corresponded with the wedding at Cana, time-wise. And we now look to Yahweh to give forth that Sheman. And I don't know how or when he's going to do it. I mean, it could be 50, it could be 150, it could be 100 days. It could be just at the right time, like Cornelius' household. It was not on a feast schedule. I don't know. But I do know that we had a consummation ceremony that was effected by Yahweh, and we can expect the bringing forth of the Sheman at some point.
Jim and I were talking a little bit today, and of course we were like children going over the weekend and just enjoying and basking in what we saw afterwards. And we laid out everything that happened, and we realized that there's just no way that men, could put all this together and make all this happen. The wind, the right location, the dog with the rocks on its back, the correct number of people there, the man walking down at the cleft of the rock, the
location.
Date. Yes, it just
between those two rock outcroppings, we were actually in the place of the millennial reign, if you want to look at what we were doing.
That's right. There's just no way that we could have sat on our table and said, okay, folks, this is what we're going to do tomorrow, and this is exactly, and oh, and by the way, we've got this dog that's going to be there waiting for us. And it just, when you see it, you see, when Yahweh's involved, it's just wonderful to see.
And that's what we need. We need Yahweh to affect the work, and that's the encouraging part of what happened on that weekend.
Well, yes. I believe it's coming, sir. I believe that it's coming. It's on its way. You'll be teaching. It will be wonderful for once you get out, Gary, and begin to teach, for folks to touch the head of the second golden rod, and to see the change that will take place in their lives. I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the future.
Chris, just recently I called you with a bit of excitement, and what I shared with you after I did, I said, okay, Chris, there are only two people in the world that even know this truth, and it's you and I, and let's share it, okay?
Okay.
Because all of a sudden it dawned on me, why was it that they laid down palm branches before Yeshua as he came into Jerusalem? What is the significance of palm branches? I actually wasn't even asking that question. I'm asking it to the listening audience right now. But all of a sudden, it just dawned on me what it was. A palm tree is a Tamar in the Hebrew. Tamar, who was the woman who was married to the two sons of Judah and then had relations with Judah, her name, Tamar, is actually palm tree. The word is more so just erect. Upright, erect, which a palm tree is. A palm tree is a type of the male. It would be a torch if you lit its head on fire. And so it is the erect, the male. Now, the Elijah is in the place of Yeshua, and he is the second golden rod, if you would, as you mentioned just then. Or he is the rod that is established because the serpent turns it back into the rod. What dawned on me and what I called you about with such excitement, it is quite evident that what is laid down in order to prepare the way for Yeshua are the teachings that are brought forth by the rod, by the Elijah. From the head of the rod, you take these palm branches and you lay them down before Yeshua. These truths, Chris, that you and I are talking about right now, the things that the Holy Spirit began giving me in 1994, these truths are the palm branches that are laid down in order to prepare the way for the return of the Son of God.
That's incredible. You asked me to share that with my son, Michael, and I did, and it went like, whew, it just went right over his head.
I hope it didn't go over the head of the people right now.
He had his blank stare. I said, all right, that's all right, son. Just think about it. You'll get it eventually. That's an incredible revelation, Gary.
Incredible hope. It gives so much purpose for all of these things that Yahweh has been teaching me since 1994. And the hope now of going to the hand of Michigan, going to the hand of this nation, and teaching them for the first time in a public setting, which I'm going out specifically to teach, on June 19, the 15th anniversary of when the Spirit came upon me and started teaching them, the prospect of laying down those palm branches and what it means and what it will effect is extremely wonderful to consider.
Now, to be consistent, you've talked that the Elijah births Emmanuel.
Yes.
Through our words, through our lips.
Yes, that's right.
And that's consistent with teaching. Those teachings become the palm branches that prepare the way for the return of Emmanuel. It's wonderful.
Indeed. Mary birthed Yeshua. Now, the Scripture said that when he came, he would be Emmanuel. But he wasn't Emmanuel. That prophecy was not fulfilled. He was Yeshua. And that which birthed him to this earth was a man through the birth lips of a woman. What has to happen now is that the second remnant is male. And it has to come through the covered birth lips, and the other covered birth lips are the covered birth lips of a man with his beard that grows without end. And so the glory does not cease. He can be Emmanuel and his glory not be limited and even hidden. You see, the glory of a woman is hidden. The glory of the man that is on his face, unless he chooses to pervert himself and to pervert the word of God and shave that glory from his face and become a woman, that testimony of the glory on a man's face that does not end is the testimony of the birthplace of Yeshua, and you're exactly right. They are palm branches that are laid down, the truths of the remnant bride that Yahweh has been giving this man for 15 years. And I hope we can start laying those palm branches down with these teachings. I hope it is a teaching effort that has no end. And I mean that literally, because when Yeshua comes, it doesn't end. It is only elevated and increased.
That's right. That's right. This would be just the beginning. You know, for the listener, what Gary just said really is an immensely revelatory statement. And I'm not puffing or building Gary up, but if you go back and listen to this again, think about what he's saying. No man, woman has ever heard these things before. They are just incredible truths, and I'm so thankful to Yahweh for revealing these things to his bride.
That is one of the wonderful and encouraging things about this. I know what I am, Chris. I know what I am. I'm an ag boy. I'm a common man. I am so common, it often concerns me that I'm so common. But Yahweh has given me truth that is beyond any man. It is beyond anything that any man has ever seen. And I know where it's from. It is not from me. It is from Yahweh, and that gives me hope.
And I'm still always impressed by your consistency, Gary, on how that you refuse to walk this out in the flesh, to do things your own will, to try and make something happen. I have so much confidence in you and knowing that that will never happen with you, that you just won't allow it, that it's either by God or not at all. And that gives me the confidence and the strength to know that, yes, we still have to search the scriptures and be careful and search these things out, but that you refuse to do these things on your own. And that gives me a confidence that we'll continue to be on the right path. And as long as we are, wonderful things are going to happen. And I don't see us getting off the path at all.
One of the things that gives me hope, Chris, and you know the story. I've never had the thrift store that Yahweh gave me. I didn't ask for it, really didn't want it. I didn't like them. I had never even been to one, I don't think, before that, but opened a thrift store. And it was had a difficult month once, and actually more than one time, but it had a difficult month. And I complained to Yahweh, and I said, Father, this thrift store, I did not ask for it. It is your thrift store. It's your idea. I really didn't want it. It's your store. And it looks like you could do a better job running your store. And Yahweh answered. He said, I'm not building a store. I'm building a man. I trust that's true. Because if he is not building a man, I'm in trouble. If he is not effecting this, I am in trouble. And you know, Chris, I've been willing to just go drive a truck. Yahweh has not allowed it. I do trust that I'm going to be on the long haul road, you know, doing long hauls, but I hope it's going to be out teaching. And Yahweh alone can effect this, and I trust that it's his timing, and he's going to accomplish it. And if someone listening would like for me to come to their home and teach others, then contact me at gary@remnantbride.com and say, can you come to such and such? We'd love for you to teach.
Well, what's interesting is that you actually are going to be driving a truck.
That little Black Raven truck?
That's right. So the very thing that you didn't want to drive a truck, you're going to be out driving a truck from stop to stop, from destination to destination to teach these truths. And so you're in a truck.
Oh, I am indeed. It's a much smaller version.
But that's true.
I like the cargo, I can tell you that. It's precious cargo.
Amen.
These truths are. What it is, it's a huge load of palm branches, and I'm trying to distribute them and getting them into as many hands as they can go into so that we can prepare the way for the return of Emmanuel.
That's a wonderful way to look at that. And the listener who will be part of these teachings in whichever state that you'll be in, you know, can participate in that and look at it that way, that these teachings are laying out the palm branches for Emmanuel.
So if they want me to come and give them some palm branches, they can email me, and we will see what we can do about getting there.
Well, it was an interesting and wonderful weekend in my home, and I thanked you personally, and I will thank you again publicly here for the wonderful time that you spent and all the bride brothers and sisters that came and spent time in our home, and we were very blessed by it. And I very much look forward to what Yahweh will do next.
Aida was a wonderful hostess, as well as yourself, sitting out on your patio. It was very delightful, the teaching opportunities. Chris, actually, we had that teaching session Sunday evening because you requested it. You scheduled it. And I appreciated that so very much.
Yes, I wanted you to do some teaching in our home. And as I mentioned in the beginning, it was wonderful to just to see it happen and take place, and for my family to just sit and listen, you know, and to just soak these truths in, and for them to, again, to be able to really understand what it is that I'm doing. And I feel like, and not that I didn't completely, but I feel like now I have their full support, and that's important to me because I want to be part of this work.
Yes, you're blessed with the family you have, and so is Tom and Kelly. Of course, they're husband and wife, and it's wonderful that they're walking together. That's a great delight. We don't all have that as men. We don't all have that. And I will add, too, Chris, I am taking all the recording equipment with me, my computer and the microphones and everything that's necessary. So wherever I am, no matter what state I'm in, we will be able to do radio programs.
That's wonderful. As I stay back here in Colorado, that will give me something to look forward to doing some future broadcasts with you.
Yes, we can do broadcasts together, and if we need to, I can do recordings with the people that I'm meeting. And again, Yahweh alone is the one that's going to do this work, but I invite him to, and certainly hope that he is going to begin a work that breached 15 years ago, and he will now complete what he began. He brought us out to bring us in. That's what the scriptures said concerning the sons of Israel. He brought them out to bring them in, but it was breached. Well, that is what I'm looking for now. We had that consummation, which is the Jordan River entering into the promised land. We had that consummation, and I trust Yahweh's now going to effect what he needs to in order to bring forth Emmanuel. And that is, as we had said, is handing out palm branches.
Amen. Well, it's good talking to you today, sir, and I appreciate your time, and I look forward to conversing with you very shortly in the near future.
Indeed. I'm glad for our time together, and I will be reporting again after Michigan.
All right. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Blessings, bro.
Blessings. Bye.
Bye.